Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez on this Tuesday, September 26, 2017. We're going to talk to Bill Self around 7:30, Rustin Dodd at 8:05, Jeff Chedia from NFL Network in the 9 o'clock hour. And remember, you can come out and join me at Power Play in the Northland, right off of Berry Road. You know where it is, don't you? You have the brand new sandbox bar and grill that's right next to the sand volleyball courts, which really, it is wonderful. I rode the zip line there, which was very fun. I'm hoping Jake shows up tonight so I can put him on that zip line. Put that on Snapchat for people to see. I think they'd enjoy that. But if you want to come out and compete, it's the last chance, the last qualifying round for the Coaches versus Cancer Kansas City Papa Shot Championship. And if you are the highest score tonight between 3 and 7 o'clock at Papa Shot, you will then advance to the Final Four to compete at the Coaches versus Cancer tip-off event September 28th in front of Bill Self, Konzo Martin, Bruce Weber, and Norm Stewart. We'll ask Bill Self about that, if he'd be willing to coach someone up at Papa Shot. Just a few tips, maybe.
So no Greg Marshall?
Nope. He is
intimidating.
Can't make it.
Right there.
He's declined. He's not coming out. So.
He knows I'm not going to be there, right? Mm-hmm.
Right. You're not going to be there? God, Greg Marshall's back in. No, he's not. He can't be there now. But Bill Self, Konzo Martin's like coming in special on a jet from SEC Media Days.
Wow.
Like making the extra, like the double extra effort. Like, oh, I'm going to be there.
Yeah, I'm going to be there.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. Thank you, Konzo Martin, for that, yeah. By the way. Now let's go to Trenny Kuznarek in Boston. Hello, Trenny. How are you?
Hi.
How you been?
What's up, guys?
Well, you know, the same old stuff. We're excited that the Chiefs are 3-0. But there's also a little bit of sadness because this is the final week of the baseball season and the final week of the Royals, as we have grown to love them over the past couple of years, because everyone's a free agent and people think no one's coming back. So,
yeah, you guys are in a tough spot, huh?
Yeah.
The chances of having, I mean, some guy, I mean, someone will come back, right?
Probably Alcides Escobar, but Eric Hosmer, Mike Moustakas, and Lorenzo Cain are the big three, and I don't think anyone feels very good about their chances, although I would love it if Eric Hosmer would come back and spend the next 5 or 6 years with me. I mean, in Kansas City.
About what? Eric Hosmer to the Red Sox.
Watch it.
A while ago, but I don't know. I wonder if Sox will make a push at all for Giancarlo Stanton. They really need a huge bat in the middle of the lineup.
Well, he's
they need a real power. They need a power guy in the middle of the lineup, because that's
Mike Moustakas.
Sorely, yeah, Mike Moustakas. I think we might be a better fit for what they need right now.
He really warmed up to the Boston media when they came to town, so I don't know how he handled that. But I think maybe a nice fat free agent contract could kind of help smooth things over, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know, though, Stephen, because that's an issue here. I mean, the biggest problem, like, we're seeing it with David Price, right? Like, David Price was always so salty with the Boston media and Boston fans.
He's,
of course, he had the whole thing with David Ortiz.
He's miserable, isn't he?
He is miserable. Like, there, I don't know that anyone making that much money, like, he hates it here. I don't know that there's any, he can say what he wants public, but the guy hates it here. He hates the fact that everybody's on him on Twitter. He hates, you guys have two sports talk radio stations in Kansas City also. So you've got two sports talk radio stations here, but we also have two two full-time sports, like sports networks, like local regional sports networks, and you've got the two papers, and about a gazillion blogs. Plus, Barstool used to be based out of here, and now, of course, is New York. But the baseball writer for them is like a Boston guy, so it's just relentless with him, and he brings it on himself. The difference is other guys like Pablo Sandoval struggled here, and people gave him a lot of crap. But he never, like, shot back in the media. He never shot back on Twitter. He certainly never got into an altercation on a team plane with a Hall of Fame closer. So it's...
Why'd you make her mad, Nate?
Because I totally disagree with her.
I agree
with her. No, I think that is an issue for Moustakas. Now, I don't know if that would keep him from signing a contract. But I think it would make him miserable there.
I've always felt like he's going to end up on the West Coast if he doesn't stay here.
I just don't think that his personality is a fit for the media market that is Boston. I mean, he's had issues with the Kansas City media market.
Like Haas, you know. And I'm not, you know, I'm talking about Haas, but I'm going to keep talking about him. He can handle the media pretty much anywhere.
Yes.
Like he might even welcome that. He could deal with that, right? Yep. And like but for Moose, that is a consideration.
It is. The Danny Klink scale clip is the most famous one, but
play
as
it.
We told you, the Nick Cafardo, I was right there when he got really testy with Nick Cafardo. I remember one time he got super mad at Randy Kovitz.
I feel like he got maybe a little irritated with Jake.
He got a little irritated with Jake?
Yes or no?
Yes, he absolutely did.
What happened?
We don't need to get into that.
Well, I mean, you know, just a little...
I was standing... I guess too close to his locker room, and there's
right.
a chair in between me, and then he was in a towel, put his hand on my shoulder. Hey, don't worry about it. Don't move, bro.
Now, see, that sounds like something you would do to somebody
that
else.
Absolutely, seems
and maybe
like
he
something
sees
you would do.
That in you, and he knew you could take it because that's a Jake move.
It is.
No.
You're
go
good.
Ahead. No, sit
you're
in
good.
My
don't
office.
Move, bro.
No, please sit in my office. I want you to.
Yeah.
That sounds like Jake.
Don't worry, I wasn't trying to do any work in there or anything.
Exactly.
The thing is, if I was like staring at him, walking him,
were you?
Like, no, I had no idea he was even behind
me. Were you eyeing him?
No, but you
look at me right now.
That's inappropriate, dude.
Look at me right now.
Meat gazer.
Meat gazing?
No. Always the next step, isn't it?
Yep.
Can't ever just stop right there, right before the line.
Maybe that's why Moustakas got a little testy with him.
Well, Trinity,
see what I did
no
there?
No pun intended.
Trinity, are you,
I'm
will
sorry,
you please talk to us?
Somebody else called in the middle. Like, no one ever calls me. And someone
it
called
wasn't.
When I meant to hit the end. Mm-hmm. It was the program director for the radio station I do work for out here. And I meant to hit, like, end and send a voicemail, not whatever, and I accidentally hit end and accept. So
Nate,
I was like, panic.
No. Nate has a history of making guests mad, so we thought that's what happened. But
no.
Pretty much every female I've ever talked to on the phone has accepted whatever
right.
call came in on the other
Click.
Line. Up call coming in.
Back
sorry. In gotta go.
What did the program director want?
I don't know. I'll call back.
Okay.
I was like, oh, my God, Joey was in the middle of an interview in Kansas City. Can I call you back?
All right.
So we're
sure
talking about how we agree that it would be an issue for Mike Moustakas to deal with the media there because
he did get the biggest hit of the game. Can you talk about it?
You know, Vargy threw the ball fantastic for us tonight.
And, so what's this all about?
Vargy threw the ball great for us tonight or today. He did a fantastic job. You know, keeping the ball down in the zone. You know, challenged them, got them swinging and missing a lot, and, you know, came out with the W today.
I'm going to go one more time. You had the biggest hit of the game. Can you talk about it?
You know, Vargy had a great game tonight. He threw the ball well for us, kept the ball down.
Why was – okay, so first of all, shame on the reporter for saying, can you talk about it? Maybe if you asked an actual question, he would have answered it.
No.
A specific question.
I don't think so.
But why – okay, who was the reporter, and why did he refuse to – answer it.
Well, that was Danny Klingscale from here at Sports Radio 810 WHB, and he was asking Mike Moustakas. He had a big hit, right?
So yeah.
Game winning.
So
right.
the context...
Biggest hit of the game.
The context was, this was a couple years ago. This was back before the World Series runs. This was when Mike Moustakas was hitting around the Mendoza line, and a lot of people in Kansas City were calling for him to be sent back to the minor leagues because he was having a terrible season. And at that point in his career, he hadn't really proven that he belonged in the big leagues. And he had a game. There was a big, I think there might have been a big article in the paper that day about, like, why isn't Mike Moustakas being sent to the minor leagues when other guys would? Maybe he's getting preferential treatment because he was a bonus baby and all that. And he ended up getting the biggest hit of a game and winning the game that same day. And to be fair to Danny Klingscale, a couple of other reporters had tried to ask him about his hit in the game, and all he kept answering is clearly was he had decided, I'm just going to say Vargy threw the ball well no matter what anyone asks me. And to Danny's credit, he kept pressing it to like, okay, let's make this clear. We're going to ask you several times about this and give you the chance to talk about it. And, you know, he wasn't having
Mike Moustakas would not last 37 seconds in Boston.
So why did he get mad at it?
If I'm James Dombrowski, can I get that clip? Can I send it to Dave? Because, like, this is the same kind of crap that David Price would pull in Tampa. And everybody just assumed, oh, he'll be fine. But, like, people are going to write terrible things about you all the time here.
Well,
all the time.
Look, that was
and if you have an attitude like that, you will not endear yourself to anyone, and they will make it probably worse on you.
To be fair to Mike Moustakas, that was several years ago, and people have the opportunity to, you know, to develop and mature. But I will say that this season, when Boston was in town, almost
he had the run-in with Nick Cafardo about trading, like a big trade bait, right?
Well, Nick Cafardo asked him a question, like, you know, do you want to, you know, what do you think of your time in Kansas City? You know, obviously a lot of people are thinking you might become a free agent. And he gave the coached up Scott Boras non-answer of, I've loved my time here. This city's been nothing but great to me. I have nothing but great things to say about this organization, blah, blah, blah. And he didn't say anything about where he was going to be. And Cafardo followed up by saying something like, so you want to stay here. You'd like to stay here in Kansas City. And he did not appreciate having words put in his mouth that he didn't say. And so he looked, you know, he looked so mad. I remember this. He said something like, yeah, great job out of you, pal. Yeah, great, great stuff. You know, you want to go ahead and write what you want to write and say what you want to say? Fine. And he's like, I'm done. This is it. And he walked off.
There's so many similarities between Moose and Jake. I mean, that's the guy you want to stay, Jake, because I think that's your soulmate.
I wish you would.
Yeah.
I absolutely
that's
wish you would.
Your spirit animal right there. You're a big moose.
Mm.
And Trini, of course, you worked at MLB Network, and so you're familiar with more than just one market. And you've also worked at Pittsburgh and Milwaukee. And so you understand that, and having been around David Price now, and so when we think about the Royals and their ability or inability to re-sign these guys, we just think about money, but for some players, it is a factor, the media market and the quality of life and things away from baseball that we don't always consider.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I would think so. I mean, I think so. I think for guys who are not going to be, and I'm going to use an NBA term here, like max contract guys, that definitely factors in. Like, what are my chances of winning with this team? Shading towards the end of my career? Have I not won a World Series? Is that something I want to get on my resume? I think then, or are you like a journeyman, pretty decent player, maybe not a journeyman, but a guy who maybe at one point really hit the peak of his career, now you're at the end of the career and you want to look and say like, okay, where do I really want to go? Where am I going to be comfortable? Where are my kids going to like school? But I don't think David Price ever thought he would come to Boston, and I don't think he wanted to come to Boston, but I think when they put that humongous offer on the table to him, $30 million a year, it didn't matter that he knew the fans were tough. It didn't matter that he wasn't sure if he wanted to live here and that he liked the weather and he liked the people. He just saw that money and was like, I'm going there. So that's where I think the difference is. Like, you know, Mike Moustakas might look at Boston and be like, oh my God, I could never play there. Their fans are always on you on Twitter, and, you know, the newspapers are relentless and talk radio is so harsh. Like, I wouldn't want to go there, but then they give you this humongous contract, and you go, oh, I'm sure I can learn to deal with it. Like, so I don't know. I'd like to think that guys take into account, like, other life factors, but I think when the money is so, like, if you have a chance to make, like, $5 million more than you would anywhere else per year, you're probably going to go there even if you think it might not work.
Yeah, I think most guys think I can handle it. You know, and
yeah, I think most of them think they can. I think most, and you should, right? Like, if you're a pro ball player, if you're a pro athlete in any sport, you should be confident enough in yourself to handle. I mean, right now, the big question here is, how is Kyrie Irving going to handle playing in Boston? You know, like why do you laugh?
Because you know what? Screw Kyrie Irving. I just said it. How about that?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You know.
Why don't you like Kyrie Irving?
Because
he's a LeBron apologist, that's why.
I am a LeBron apologist, and Kyrie Irving was nothing but a good player on a terrible basketball team until LeBron James got there.
Go Celtics.
And so now, because he didn't get enough credit for the two championships he was carried to, or the one championship that he was carried to, I know he hit the big shot. He would have never sniffed an NBA Finals without LeBron James. Now he's gonna. He's gonna go be the big star somewhere else. Okay, good for him. Anyways,
Why are you such a LeBron? I mean, I like LeBron too. Like, I don't hate him as much as other people do. But yesterday we had sound from LeBron at Cavs Media Day, and he kept referring to Kyrie as kid. So there's like little things that like LeBron can be pretty passive aggressive, like jerky sometimes.
Sure he can. Kyrie Irving went and made fun of him at somebody else's wedding with a bunch of their arch rival team, arch rivals.
Are there really arch rivals in the NBA though?
Who knows what? I mean, listen, maybe not being a Kyrie apologist, but like, maybe LeBron was terrible to him behind the scenes.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, screw you, buddy. Yeah, I got fun with you. I'm going to go be my own team. I'm going to play it at your rival team in the East, and I'm going to knock you out of the. Finals next year.
I hope he falls on his face.
Great drama for us.
In the 21 playoff games of their championship season, Kyrie Irving averaged 25.2 points per game.
Right. LeBron was dragging him to the championship.
He would have never sniffed an NBA Finals.
And you don't know that
without him.
And you
they were a lottery team until LeBron got there. With Kyrie Irving on the team, they were a lottery team. They didn't even make the playoffs, let alone the finals.
Oh, so they didn't make any trades or any moves?
Nate, in fairness, he was a really young. He's only 25 years old.
LeBron James goes to the finals no matter who's on his team. When Kyrie Irving wasn't on the team, he still took the team to the finals.
We can't compare LeBron James. No one's comparing LeBron James to
Kyrie
Irving.
Well, Kyrie Irving is leaving because he doesn't get as much love as LeBron James, and he wants to go somewhere where it's his team. Good for him.
Don't you want a player like that? Don't you want a player who says, I want a championship. Now I want to go prove I can do it on my own. I don't want to see somebody else's shadow.
Okay.
Isn't that the kind of player you want on your team? You want someone who's totally cool just riding the coattails of somebody else?
He did more than ride the coattails. He was obviously a very, very good player, if not great player for the Cavs. But, you know, I think to mock your own teammate behind his back, you know, with the guys that you're playing against is a complete Bush League move. A lot of the stuff that he's pulled has been Bush League. I can't believe we've gone off on a Kyrie Irving tangent here.
I want to hear more.
Yeah, and
I had no idea. I had no idea that merely mentioning and drawing a parallel between how other players react to playing in Boston would get Nate so fired up on a Kyrie Irving fan.
I've been storing up that Kyrie Irving rant because we never talk about it, you know, on the show here.
Yeah. But you used to be a Boston fan, so now you don't like.
Yeah,
so now
I know it's going to put me in a weird spot. I've always liked the Celtics. I've always rooted for the Celtics, but now
you can still root for the Celtics. Like
now, my love for LeBron James,
Al Horford, and Gordon Hayward, and Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown. I think Jaylen Brown could have a really good year this year.
They've got a good team. So maybe they put enough around him that they can overcome his lack of playing defense.
He played his college ball for Conzo Martin.
His defense was terrible. This Celtics team is not a good defensive team. You'll definitely see, I think, Marcus Smart coming off the bench and relieving Kyrie in key defensive situations.
Cheney, while we have you on the air, will you acknowledge that the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL right now?
They are.
Right.
I thought about you guys. So we have this show on Fridays called Football Fix, and it's like gambling. It's like a fantasy football show, and they talked about which team is the best in football right now. And two of the hosts were Hemming and Hawing, and Phil Perry, who's like our one of our Patriots insiders, was like, not even a question. It's the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's right.
Like without question, he said they are the team to beat right now in the AFC.
That's a smart guy.
You have good defense, and you have a good offense, which is something that the Patriots have a good offense, and their defense is putrid. Well, maybe not putrid. Putrid might be a strong word. But it's definitely more like the Packers defense, which is crap, and the Chiefs defense, which is really good.
Well, they needed all of 378 and five touchdowns from Brady to beat the Texans and a rookie quarterback.
Yes, yes.
It was
first time, by the way, that a rookie quarterback has hung in there, really hung in there against the Patriots at home. I think prior to that, they had thrown like zero touchdowns and five interceptions rookie quarterbacks had. I mean, Deshaun Watson's a dynamic player, though. You know, he's just – he made some couple bad play calls with Bill O'Brien. Obviously really stupid to not call a timeout earlier on that final drive because at the very least, maybe they could have gotten one more playoff and tried to get into field goal position to win it. But, yeah, if it wasn't for 40-year-old Tom Brady, that team would have lost on Sunday.
Here's my stat of the day. That was sent out by the NFL last night, and I retweeted it. I love this. I was unaware of this. The Chiefs have now scored a touchdown of at least 50 yards, 50-plus yard touchdown, in an NFL record 9 consecutive games dating back to last year. And look, I grew up, obviously, but the Chiefs were really bad. And then as a young adult, I enjoyed the Marty Schottenheimer Chiefs, which was, look, they won, they played defense, they ran the ball, but there wasn't a whole lot of the pizzazz, not a whole lot of big plays, and now the Chiefs, under Andy Reid, this Chiefs, they're the most penalized team in the NFL. They are the best big play team in the NFL. They've set NFL records. They have a rookie who has 3 consecutive games with a 50-yard touchdown at least in every game and is setting records with yards. They're swashbucklers. And now, all of a sudden, they're the most entertaining football team to watch in the NFL, pretty much.
I mean, I can't believe how dynamic, like, you know, between Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Mm. I mean, it's if you're a defense, where do you start? You know, if you take one of those three out of the game, you still have two others that are such big playmakers. Question is, do you guys think Alex Smith has enough is he good enough to guide them to a championship?
That's the question.
Quarterback play is the most important thing in the NFL.
That will be the question, and I'm sure that we will ask that question when you come
every
to
every week until it's the season's over.
Now, when you come to Kansas City, when the Patriots play at the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, we'll find out.
My guess is, guys, I would not be there.
Oh,
sorry.
We'd bring you in anyway.
It might be a little tough. It's good. I mean, so I'm going to the Olympics again.
Oh, boy.
So I won't even be going. If for some reason the Patriots would go to the Super Bowl, I won't even be there. I'm going. I'm leaving February 2nd for South Korea.
What events are you covering? Do you know?
I am the curling reporter again.
Oh, that's fantastic. Right there.
Awesome.
That's wonderful.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm there the whole time. And then right now I'm tentatively planning on going to Thailand after a little vacay, a little R&R.
So how long will you be gone, like, in all with your
weeks
duties?
Almost. And isn't that crazy?
How long?
I'll be gone almost 6 weeks. I'll be gone from February 2nd to the 26th at the Olympics.
Wow.
And then right now, I haven't booked my ticket yet because I'm sort of waiting to make sure that North Korea doesn't decide to, like, I don't know, bomb South Korea or bomb the United States. We don't have an Olympics. But my plan is on the 26th to fly from Seoul to Phuket, spend some time in Phuket, and then go to Chiang Mai, in northern Thailand, and then go back to Seoul and then fly back home. And I think I would get home. I think right now, I guess it'd be like more like 5 weeks, and then I'd be gone from my office for like 6 weeks almost.
Good
Isn't
for
that crazy?
You. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
And they're letting me do it.
And once again, it happens every Olympics.
Of course, I'll call you guys from South Korea.
I'll become obsessed with curling for just a couple of weeks, yeah, like I do every Winter Olympics.
Please come obsessed with curling before that. Curling Night in America, which I went to Omaha to a few weeks ago, the end of August, debuts on October 10th. We also have curling trials coming
yes.
up in November in Omaha. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I spent a lot of time in Omaha over the next 2 months.
Well, when are you going back to Omaha?
I'm going to Omaha, I think it's like November 16th.
Okay. That's dangerously
easy trip.
That's dangerously close to Kansas City.
I love Omaha.
Great town.
It is a nice little town.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. I don't know what we could do, but how long are you going to be there in your next trip?
I think like 4 or 5 days. I'm going to be there for, I'm not going to be there. I thought I had to be there for, so a lift trial for curling is 11 days. I thought I had to be there for like, or 9 days, 9 or 10 days. I only have to be there for the back end for like the finals portion. We're not covering the preliminaries, the round robins. So I think, like I said, I think I get in on the 15th or the 16th, and then I think I leave on maybe the 19th or the 20th. Not 100% sure yet.
That's like a Wednesday to Sunday or Monday.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
Well, right on.
Yes, now, if you guys want to come up and see some, you know, Olympic trial curling.
Maybe I'll put in for a credential.
I actually kind of want to. Yeah. I'm not even kidding.
That'd be interesting. God, you guys, that'd be so fun.
Hey, road trip.
Right.
Road trip. Border Patrol road trip to the... curling, the Olympic qualifying set.
We've got people in Omaha.
Yeah. Awesome.
This is awesome. I love this fun that we're hatching right now.
You know what? And guess what? The listeners are involved as well. We get a whole caravan up. Yeah. You can hear us up there. Sometimes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I get there next time, I'll tune you guys in on my presets on my rental car.
Oh, please do. Tranny, it sounds like you've got a great schedule coming up in. That's awesome. And so we will hopefully we can come and see you up there in Omaha.
That would be amazing.
Trenny, thank you so much for the time. We will talk to you very soon.
All right. Sounds good, guys.
That is Trenny Kuznarek. You can follow her on Twitter, at Trenny, T-R-E-N-N-I is her Twitter handle. That's one of my favorite things to watch in the Winter Olympics. I'll just watch curling for a whole afternoon if I can. I'd like you to go up there and report on it.
Today. Sure. And had some good times in Omaha.
It's a good town.
Absolutely. Home of 311.
Home of Terrence Crawford.
Oh.
Who I'm ready to say is the best fighter pound for pound in the world, but I haven't said it yet. I've got to think more.
You know, I was watching.
I've got to think more about it, but I'm right there. With it.
I was watching the Canelo Triple G fight.
Bud Crawford!
At the sporting.
Quit bragging.
Game with the guy from Omaha who just kept talking about it.
Oh, he's fantastic. Man. He's a stud.
He can do it all in the ring.
Stud.
Partner. Back into this on WHB.